So what I did was I examined, well, before I get into that, actually, is there anybody here who knows what biochar is or is familiar with that? So that's like a very popular topic now, especially in the past couple decades. There's been a lot of research on biochar and the effects that it has on soil. So basically, some of the things that studies that have looked into this have found are that it raises pH, it increases bioactivity, and increases cation exchange capacity, stores more carbon, and increases water retention. But what I looked at was not agriculturally related. This is a charcoal hearth, and basically where I did my study was in Sterling State Forest, which is in upstate New York, or not upstate New York, but it's just across the border of New Jersey. You'll see a map of it in a couple slides. But basically, what happened there was during the 1700s and 1800s, there were iron mills there. And so in order to fuel the mills, they would burn wood. So they would pile wood like this, cover it in sod, burn it, and then they would rake charcoal out to use in the mills. So where I did my study sites, where I had my study sites, were historic charcoal hearth sites, which is what they refer to them as, charcoal hearths. So the study site was in that red dot on the map, is where the state forest is located. It's located right next to Tuxedo, New York, if anybody knows where that is. It's close to New York City, and the years of operation for the ironworks were 1736 to 1891, so over 100 years worth of charcoal inputs for these sites, and that's what we were looking at. So that first dot on the north side of the map represents the unsorted till site. There was two sites. I'll get into that later also. And the one on the south side of the map is a boulder field site, and we had two pits at each site. And one was located within the historic charcoal hearth, and the other was located outside of that. And also, the charcoal hearths at the unsorted till site were smaller in diameter than the other hearths at the other site. But I don't really know if that makes much of a difference. But when we talk about slope, you'll see there's a difference in slope there. So some of the soil forming factors for the hearth sites. The climate was the same because it was located in the same general area. It's humid, a humid temperate zone. The vegetation did not vary much between sites. It was mixed deciduous throughout. also, the till, so for the unsorted till site and the boulder field site, they were the result of, or part of the soil forming processes involved there were the Wisconsin and Glacier. So, and that was about 20,000 years ago, so that's just some more history on the sites there. The unsorted till site, so these are the slopes for each of the study pits, or where the study pits were taken, rather. The charcoal hearth slope had 12% slope, non-hearth had 29% slope, and then at the boulder field, the charcoal hearth had 9% slope, and the non-hearth had 6% slope. And so for all the sites that we examined, they were almost the same, almost all of them had the same aspect. So they had south to southeast or southeast-east aspects. And so this is what we were looking at. This is the unsorted till control pit. And you can see there's still an O and A horizon there. But once we compare that to the charcoal, you can see there's a much thicker A horizon, some O on top. And you can see, like, just visually, there's a bigger difference in terms of color. Which I'll also get into. This is the boulder field control site pit, and this is the charcoal. So, and you might also notice that at the bottom of this picture, that is a buried A horizon. So, and that I should also mention, this was a continuation of another study that looked at soil organic matter, which we'll see in a second. So, basically, what you're looking at here, this is a depth plot of soil organic carbon. Depth on the y-axis and soil organic carbon on the x-axis. So in the boulder field, you see where that buried A horizon is, there was a jump in soil organic carbon. That's because there's a buried A there. But so the previous study that was examining this found that carbon stocks did not vary between hearth and non-hearth soils at the Boulderfield site, but there was a difference at the unsorted till site. And the reason for that is probably because at the Boulderfield site, the soil developed between rocks, and so there was a high percentage of organic matter between those rocks. Whereas at the unsorted till site, it's much flatter. There's not as many boulders there. And so what I did, I measured a few things. The first thing I did, and this is the only thing that I measured on site, was respiration. And for those of you who are familiar with the Draeger tube method, essentially you just put a cylinder into the ground, you put a cap on it, and then you wait, I think, 10, 15 minutes or so, and then you start to draw air out of the encapsulated area, and then the tube will read the amount of CO2 in a concentration in there. So then from that you can calculate respiration. So the respiration results. So what you're looking at here in the red is the control sites, and the blue is charcoal sites. So and on the left axis is CO2 pounds per acre per day. And the results showed that at both locations the charcoal hearths had higher rates of respiration than the non-hearth soils. And between the two sites, the unsorted till site had lower overall respiration rates when you compare them respectively to their hearth and non-hearth soils at the boulder field. And that again may have had to do with the fact that there was higher levels of organic matter between at the sites that we sampled because of the rock formations there. In measuring soil color, we use the LAB method, which is slightly different than the Munsell color method, which is more traditionally used. But so the L values represent blackness or whiteness, A is redness or greenness, and B is blueness or yellowness. So throughout all of the both of the hearth soils, we saw that it was blacker, greener, and bluer. But for the purpose of my research, I focused mainly on the L value since it represents how dark the soil does in respect to depth. So here we look at L value plotted against soil organic matter, which is the data that I got from the previous study. So as you can see here, as soil organic matter increases, L value is decreasing for both sites. But there's not a huge difference between the unsorted till and the charcoal and control sites here for either locations, but you do see a slightly lower L value for both charcoal hearth sites, or pits rather. So in measuring soil pH, which is another thing that we looked at, so a little bit of background in terms of looking at pH in forest environments, it's typically acidic, so on the lower side, and biochar research has shown that it typically raises soil pH when you have charcoal present in the soil, either as amendments or in the case we're going to see here in charcoal hearths. So the methods we used, a pH meter to measure pH in 1:1 water, and pH was also found to be higher at the charcoal sites in respect to the non-hearth sites. So the pH results, so the unsorted till control site. That's the first graph there. Yeah, thank you. And then, so the two controls, you can see, are slightly tightly grouped. But then as we look at the charcoal unsorted till site, you can see that it starts out higher at 4 rather than around 3.75. And then it gets higher towards the lower end of the profile. So on the left is the depth, if you didn't notice, and then the top is pH we're looking at. So charcoal, the boulder field had the highest pH levels of all sites sampled, and the reason for the increase towards the lower depths may be because of water infiltration and those organic matter traveling throughout the profile. So, and then we also measured CEC. I don't want to go into too much here because I only have a few minutes left, so I will get into the results. So again, the control is represented in red and the charcoal is in blue. So for both charcoal sites, with respect to their non-hearth soils, there was higher CEC. It wasn't that much higher, and another study that did a similar experiment in Germany found that there wasn't a significant difference between CEC in hearth and non-hearth soils. But for us, we did see an increase, but it wasn't significant, although there was there. So in summary, charcoal hearth soils exhibited higher cation exchange capacity, higher pH, higher respiration, and darker colors overall. And so concluding from this, charcoal hearth soils present a unique opportunity to examine the effects of non-intentional biochar outside agricultural setting. And so results show that the Boulder Field site was less affected by the charcoaling throughout all those graphs as opposed to the unsorted till. And again, I think that was because of the higher levels of organic matter that were present there before the charcoaling even happened. So, and that concludes the study. Some people that I'd like to thank, Fred Schenagel, who's an NRCS soil scientist who helped us locate the sites, as well as Richard Shaw, state soil scientist, and a few others who are with the Historical Society there, who helped us locate the sites. And I'd also like to thank Judy Turk, who was my advisor for this project and helped me do it as well, and the Stockton University Provost Office, who helped fund us. So, thank you. Any questions? Yes.
I'm not sure if you were able to do that, but did you notice any difference in the actual revegetation of those sites?
Right.
Presumably there had been some natural revegetating.
Right. So what we did notice was at the hearths themselves, there didn't seem to be much of a difference between vegetation between that and what was outside the hearths. But it had been over 100 years since the charcoaling had ceased, so you'd expect to see something growing there. And there were some things, but in terms of specific vegetation, the whole site was typically deciduous vegetation.
I guess maybe my question more specifically would be, was there a difference for the
size?
Sites sort of obvious by the way they had revegetated compared to the surrounding vegetation?
Right, of course. Okay. Well, in terms of the unsorted till site, it was very difficult to locate. Typically, there what you look for is a flattened area, and it sort of drops off. You can see that there was a platform of some sort, not very high, but you can usually locate it that way. But in the unsorted till site, we had trouble locating it, so that's why I had to bring the Historical Society people out to help us find it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
So, do you have any recommendations and locations? What does the study
tell
us other than if the CEC falls in the forest?
Of CEC?
I mean, what does it tell us?
Right. Okay, so basically what it would tell us is, and in terms of cation exchange capacity, it doesn't tell us too much because it's, in terms of the biochar research that's been done, it's very variable depending on how the biochar is produced. But in terms of looking at these charcoal hearth sites, we do see the implications. There are implications for agricultural uses, so you'll have higher pH, which might last you longer than liming, which you have to do maybe 3 to 5 years, every 3 to 5 years. And the reason for that is because it degrades much slower since it's, you know, stored in that form of carbon. So basically, it would present a unique opportunity for the agricultural industry to use this as an application for increasing pH and respiration and, you know, productivity overall. But as far as cation exchange capacity, I think there would have to be more research done specifically into that to find out whether or not it makes a big enough difference. Yeah.